for your weekly dose of Wayne's Comics.
Welcome to episode 313 of the Wayne's Comics Podcast. Thanks so much for listening. This week I have a special interview because Michael Heidkemper is back. The creator of Freedom Fighter has a new book in the series, as well as another one called Acts of Contrition, which I honestly find about 180 degrees different from his other book. We talk about how we put the books together, about the fact that they're going to be out tomorrow, Monday the 22nd, and you could get them at the Insane Comics website or at Comixology. He's got a great point of view as an indie creator, so I'm sure you're going to enjoy what he has to say. There's a lot to get to in this episode, so let's get to it. It's always great to talk with Mike Heidkemper, the creator of Freedom Fighter and Acts of Contrition, among other good things, from Insane Comics. How are you doing today, Mike?
Doing great, Wayne. Thanks for having me back.
It's good to follow up with you. I'm so glad that you're continuing on the Freedom Fighter series. The last time we talked, you had gotten the first four issues, I think, and that was coming out as a trade. And I was wondering whether would there be any more coming, but you've made me happy by doing more, so I'm glad for that.
Yeah, we had planned to do quite a few more issues, actually, I hope. And we had a long lull in between issue 4 and issue 5, which will be out in about 5 days. Mm-hmm. And but I think it'll be worth the wait.
Okay, that's good. Now, we're recording this on a Tuesday, just so people who are listening know. It just posts on Sundays. So you're saying it comes out in 5 days. That'd be what, Saturday?
The 22nd. I think it's a Monday.
Monday, okay. All right, so this is coming out to the Insane Comics site then.
Yes.
Okay. So, what about stores? Do your books get into stores, or do you pretty much go through the website?
I'm mostly through the website and Comixology. Mm-hmm. I know it's available on there also. So, it's hard to get independent superhero books into stores sometimes.
Well, you know? there's two words why that doesn't happen: Diamond Distributing.
Distributors. Yes,
they
sir.
Do not like superhero comics, except if they're Marvel or DC. If they're anybody else, they don't want to do it, which is a sad situation in my account. They should not be doing the limiting of books. They should be putting lots out there. So, but anyway.
Yeah, I mean, people should have the chance to see everything that's available to them. Instead of just what they pick. It's a crazy monopoly almost.
Yeah, I don't like that. Anyway, we'll get off of that subject. Nothing we can do about it right here. But the thing we can do is talk about Freedom Fighter number 5. Talk to me about that. You said there was a gap between the first set of 4 and then this one. Where did this story come from? And can you give us sort of a basic, who is Freedom Fighter and what's the second storyline about?
Well, the Freedom Fighter, of course, is a government-owned superhero. He's an operative for the United States, and in the first 4 issues, you find out that there was a huge conspiracy behind who the Freedom Fighter actually was, because somewhere along the line, he was replaced with another person. Beyond the public's eye, they didn't know this. So, the first in issue 4, that story concluded with the conspiracy more or less being exposed, and the Freedom Fighter's identity is still secret, but, the story moves on. And in issue 5, we're picking up that there's another conspiracy as to the creation of the Freedom Fighter and what he really was meant to stand for before.
Mm. Okay. And you've introduced some new characters as well. Well, talk about the new people, because I know we've got the Freedom Fighter and then Vanessa, his girlfriend, you know, soon to be wife, is in there. And that you ended that really nicely in the issue 4. I thought their relationship was, it's not the way the comics usually do these relationships, which I really like. Now you've got at least two new people and some mysterious group coming in. Do you want to talk a little bit about them?
Well, one of the bigger new characters would be a girl who's going to be like his technician. She creates his weapons and stuff. She's going to take the place of what Michelle Branson would have been to him in the first 4 issues. But of course, it turned out that she was the bad guy.
that was a big surprise. I like that.
Yeah. So this new girl, she takes the place, and she's kind of a younger child prodigy type of character. She's a lot of fun. And she picks on the Freedom Fighter a little bit too, which, you know, just adds a little comic relief to the story.
There's a funny part where she's talking to him and she calls him Mr. Fighter and says something about being on a last name basis. Then when it comes around first name basis, the way that she handles it is quite funny. I really got a kick out of that.
I'm glad you enjoyed that. Yeah, there's more pokes at him as it goes. And let's see, the other main characters that will be introduced is... really the big protagonist in this would be the Deformity, which you don't really get to see until the final page of issue 5. But he is, he's got an unusual link to the Freedom Fighter that you kind of figure out in issue 6 and 7. But he's more or less a large, bulky, super-powered, Hulkish type of being that obviously looks like something's gone wrong with him. And, he's coming after the Freedom Fighter pretty hard.
There's a thing, interesting thing too in here about they come up. There's always agents and people that are involved. You do something really unusual with a tattoo, and I won't say what it is, but some of these people that they have to fight wear a certain tattoo, and it does something really interesting that I'd never seen before. I was wondering why somebody hadn't done this before, because it made such sense when I saw it. So I don't want to spoil it, but let's just say there's really something interesting to look forward to when you come to see what these guys wearing tattoos, what that really does. I really like that.
Yeah, and that's another thing with this story. We're delving more into, like I said, the origin of how the Freedom Fighter was created. And, of course, if you read the bonus pages in the first 4 issues, there's that bonus story that leads up to where this serum that creates the Freedom Fighter kind of came from, and it's linked to the crash in Roswell in the 50s. And so there's an alien connection to his blood, and that has a little something to do with the tattoos that you're talking about.
Okay. Yeah. I don't want to spoil it because it's a really cool little item. One thing I do want to bring up too is the fact that you've got, I think it's a subtitle for this second series. It's called Death by Allegiance.
Yes.
Which I like. That's kind of a play on certain phrases that we know. And I was really interested in that. I don't want to spoil stuff, but I'm just sort of curious, is that, what has that got to do as we move forward? I mean, is that going to get explained, or is that just a cool phrase? How did you come up with that?
It started as a cool phrase, and actually I didn't come up with it. The artist, AJ Fulcher, he came up with that. And we kind of had the story figured out whenever we started making issue 5, but like I said, there was a lull just because we went back and we changed a lot of things, because you know, you're going along and you're making this book, and then you realize, you know what would be cooler than that, let's do this, you know. So we had to make changes, and the title was kind of added in there by AJ, and it was like, that works great. And it does have a subtle meaning to what's going on in the story. So, spoilers, you know.
No.
Spoilers are attached to that one.
Don't ruin the story, because I don't want, number one, I don't want to be spoiled. And number two, I think I'd rather dance around the subject if I can, and kind of, and you know, get lure people into it by giving hints rather than spoilers. So yeah. I like the whole thing. Now, there were two other things I wanted to bring up about this book particularly. You've got the Secretary of Defense in there. A new guy.
Yes.
I talk about him, that character, because, you know, there's some people who love the government and some people who don't like the government. This guy is kind of one of the good guys in the government, as far as I can tell. Why don't you talk a little bit about him?
Well, we kind of had that in the first story also, where the government kind of seems like the good guy, but it's all on perspective of the reader to be honest. Secretary Zabel, of course, he's a fictional Secretary of Defense. Mm-hmm. He took over managing the fourth quarter and the Freedom Fighter after the fiasco with Ward and Branson in the first four issues. Mm-hmm. So he wanted hands-on to take care of everything. Mm-hmm. And he's going to have a lot of things coming up in the story where he has to handle the press now, you know, things that he didn't realize would happen. So, which brings another character, Jill Cameron. She's a feisty reporter that really realizes something's going on here with the Freedom Fighter, mm-hmm. and they're trying to sweep it under the rug, and Zabel's having a hard time keeping it all under wraps. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, whenever you have a hard time with your job, mistakes are made, and, you know, more chaos ensues.
Mm-hmm. It's just amazing because I really like the characters. I like the way that you make them very realistic in there. And I do want to start, when the things start out, they're in a place I didn't expect. There's two people standing in Nigeria.
Yes.
Now, I have to ask, of course, in the first set, we had this guy by the name of Alex that was kind of the antagonist, kind of. He was kind of the person explaining things. Is Alex one of the people standing there, or am I mistaken on that?
Yeah, you're mistaken.
Okay.
That will become more clear later.
More than that, I don't want to get into, because I like the way the mystery is going. I have to mention too, I think that is the colors, is this new colors, or has somebody changed the way that the coloring is going? Because they really stand out and sparkle quite a lot in this.
Ravel Yomel, he's our colorist. Mm-hmm. He'd like to try out this, what he calls a painter style type of coloring. Mm. I think it really looks great, mm-hmm. and it's completely different, I think, from the first four issues. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously it is, but I think it's a good change, really.
Yeah, I like it. It shines a lot more. Superhero comics, we kind of want to be larger than life rather than darker than life. And so, to me, I like it when I saw the colors. There's particularly one where the Freedom Fighter's going on a ship flying through the sky, and it's almost like a sunset-ish thing in the background. And I was like, wow, that's really nice.
That's something that I'm really glad that we've improved on with these issues, is we've improved on backgrounds. You know, in the first four issues, we kind of lacked a lot of background. And, you know, that's something that was picked on by a few reviewers, like, hey, you know, the art seemed rushed in the background because there's nothing there, you know. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So the artists, they all really took a lot of time and put all that in there. Yeah, so.
Really nice. I really, really like it. I mean, I enjoyed the first four issues. It didn't bother me. But to me, I like whenever something improves a little bit, I always like to recognize that, because I think the coloring really, really, really sparkles in this book. I really think that.
Yeah, he's done an excellent job.
It's fantastic. I love it. Now, one of the things that's really good about his costume is that your new character, Gabriella, has upgraded his outfit. And apparently he goes into a mission without being able to know exactly how everything works, which is what we'd like to do. We like to see them a little out of sorts when a superhero gets into a battle like that. Talk about that whole setup. I mean, you know, I like there's a shield that comes down over his face that I kind of liked. And the way he looks is a little different, and I like the way that you're doing that. She's got an EMP at some point, and so the great thing is what you've done, you're upgrading from the last time, which I always think is a good thing.
His costume does look a little bit different. Some of those he had already had, like the shield over his face, that was in the first four issues. Oh. Some of the other, like the EMP and stuff, a lot of that was added in, and there'll be more upgrades in this story that you'll see, a lot of new toys and stuff that he gets to play with. And I like how you said that, you know, he goes in there and thinks, you know, he knows what he's doing. He doesn't really know how to use any of it. And that's just kind of his character's arrogance coming out. He's still a young guy. He likes to act like he knows everything. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's the superhero.
Right.
You know?
Exactly.
And so, you know, he just takes it and thinks, hey, I just got to push these buttons and away I go. And it makes for fun.
it's a great story. I really like it because, you know, I've been reading superheroes forever. And so when somebody can throw curveballs at me that I haven't seen before, I really like that. So I enjoyed. There's a part of the story that really gripped me, though, is when he's sent to a country to help after a disaster happens.
And he's
bringing a young child into a tent, and the child asks him to do something, which I thought was interesting because he's kind of surprised by it. I don't know if you want to, I don't want to spoil it, but let's just say the child sets the plot in motion in a different direction than I thought it was going to go. So I like that.
Well, yeah, the disaster in Nigeria that he's dispatched to help out with, you know, they all believe that it's some kind of a natural disaster, an earthquake or something. They really don't know. They're just all acting and trying to rescue as many people as they can. Mm-hmm. And as he's finding out, like you said, from the little boy, that most of the witnesses there say it wasn't a natural disaster. It was some sort of monster something. And that's what you're referring to. And,
See, I like it when that kind of thing happens. I don't understand how certain groups think they can control perception of everyone. And the fact that they didn't control it, that the kid was able to reveal a little bit of what's going on just to the freedom fighter, just the fact that he had seen something. That, I like that because I'm always frustrated when you've got like a crowd of people and nobody saw what happened. And see, this is a case where you've actually got it where somebody did see what happened, and it starts things to roll. And because that's honestly, this again is something I don't see in superhero books very much. So I liked that when I saw that. I kind of thought that was a great thing.
Well, thank you.
Now, I also like the fact that the girlfriend's back, and you know, unfortunately, being a superhero means you don't necessarily get to live up to your word all the time. And it's their relationship, though, is still kind of fun. It's almost there were things about Superman and Lois Lane that I really enjoyed. I mean, there was a story where that Kurt Busiek wrote where Clark Kent had to write a story or else he'd be fired. And so he's off saving the world of Superman and stuff like that. And he misses the deadline and he comes home and he's all dejected. He says, well, that's it. I'm out of the planet. I didn't get to write my story. And Lois says to him, well, that's all right. You did write the story. And she ghost wrote his story, so he still had his job. And the point was, even a superhero needs somebody to help them out sometimes. And I love that whole concept of the, you know, relationships that, you know, it's always a negative thing to have somebody who knows your secrets. But in a case like that, it's a positive thing. And the way that she kind of grounds him to reality, I think, is even better in this fifth issue than it has been in the first four. And I thought it was really good in the first four.
Yeah, in the first four, you know, she didn't know that he was the Freedom Fighter. She didn't know she was dating the Freedom Fighter. She just thought she was dating an FBI agent that had to go out on missions from time to time and couldn't speak to her about half of the stuff that he did. Mm-hmm. So in this issue, you know, this is the first time we really see her where she knows that it's, You know, she knows what she's going to marry into. And, you know, he doesn't have secret missions to hide behind anymore. So he can't just come home and say, hey, I can't talk about it.
Right.
So she knows where his priorities are, and it's going to cause a little rift in them. Mm-hmm. But, you know, as the story goes, I think everybody would be pleased with the way it turns out.
Because, you know, this is like being married to a cop or married to a fireman or something like that. You've got to.
Their duties are sometimes going to take precedence over a lot of.
Yep. And they're doing it for a good reason. It's not doing it to slight you or anything like that.
He doesn't have this, hey, I can't tell you where I've been. I can't tell you what is more important than our relationship this time. I have to tell you straight up. Mm-hmm. I'm just out here being a superhero. And she's going to have a hard time, you know, taking back seat to something like that.
Well, there's a wonderful dialogue or discussion that goes between the two of them. She's saying to him, I'm impossible, aren't I? And his response, I thought, was you know, this should be like a catch line for this book. It says, I live for the impossible, he goes. And I love that. I love that line. I thought, my gosh, I said, that is just the greatest way to do this stuff, you know, because every once in a while, a superhero's got to be glib in some way. And that, to me, was him really being a great character and shining that way. I loved it.
Yeah, and he's really being sincere also, you know, as telling her that he cares about her and she is important to him. But again, his arrogance kind of gets in the way and he thinks that, you know, people will wait for him and he can do what he wants and come back to it later. And that's just not a lot of people will do that for you.
So he's
going to learn that the hard way, I'm afraid.
Yep. And of course, there are some surprises along the way. We get to see some people we know as things happen, which I really liked. And of course, we talked about there's a big surprise at the end, so too. So we get all that stuff done. It's a great start to a series. Is this going to be a four issue series like the previous one?
This story will actually only be 3 issues, and it will be followed up with another 2 issue arc that is kind of like an epilogue story to this.
Mm-hmm.
But it's got a different name, and we can't go into that yet either.
Okay. Well, yeah, I probably got to finish these 3 issues so we know what's going on in those other 2.
But we can talk about maybe the bonus pages in issue 5 through 7.
All right.
Which are featuring a new character also, which we're calling the Revolutionary Freedom Fighter.
Oh.
I don't know. Do you make it to that part?
I did. I read that part, and I liked it real well. It doesn't say that in it, but it's titled "A Call to Arms" is what I saw. Oh, but yeah, he's got the thing on the front. I should have known. So this is kind of like, is this a historical kind of a setup that the Freedom Fighter goes on in many eras? Is that what you're kind of saying with the story?
In a way, we kind of made this one up on a whim because we were compiling stuff for the graphic novel, or I'm sorry, the trade paperback of the first 4 issues,
mm-hmm.
you know, and we wanted to put some bonus material in there. AJ and I had this idea, let's create alternate versions of the Freedom Fighter, you know, and we come up with some wacky ideas that were a lot of fun, and we gathered some other artists to help out. I think we created 4 different versions,
mm-hmm.
and AJ had created this Revolutionary Freedom Fighter, and I thought, man, I like American history stuff, especially Revolutionary War stuff, you know, and I got thinking, I think we can write a story for this guy, you know,
mm-hmm.
and so we just did, you know, we made him just how the Revolutionary War or the Freedom Fighter would be during the Revolutionary War, and
mm-hmm.
gave him his own little mission where he's dispatched to protect Paul Revere so he can make his midnight ride and mm-hmm. things like that. It's going to add a lot of fun, and it actually will tie into the modern day story and the traditional book.
Okay. Is he related? Is he like a family member? Like I can't think of the word right top of my head, but he's somebody that is blood relative to the current.
He's actually not linked to the current Freedom Fighter at all in any way.
Hmm.
In issue 6, you'll get more clarity on how that works, but it's more just an extra fun story that gives a little bit of history to the main bad guy in this story.
Mm-hmm. Okay, because I'm like you. I like historical stories. I get a kick out of that. You know, because one of the reasons I like Hawkman is because he's got, you know, a part in the past in Egypt and stuff like that. And so you're never exactly sure which part of Hawkman is going on. But of course, what you do with the second story is you cliffhanger us. There's something that he gets to see, and he says the famous words, I may be too late.
Yeah.
You know, because then you're going, oh no, now what? So that's a good thing. So I guess we're going to have, you're going to do this in every issue now? Is that what you're saying?
I think we're going to try to keep doing these bonus stories because they kind of help add backstory to the traditional story. And it works well, and it adds a few extra pages to the book that people usually like.
Now, is he going? This will be every issue. This character, or are you? You talked about the fact you had several versions that you had created. Is this miniseries going to have this guy in it, and then maybe go to another one in another miniseries? Is that what's going to happen?
No, I don't know. We may come back to the Revolutionary Freedom Fighter for other issues. The other characters that we had created, the other alternate Freedom Fighters. They're really more for fun, and they're kind of quirky.
Oh, okay. All right.
But we had a Freedom Fighter design. We called him the 1990s Freedom Fighter, you know, where he's drawn with big muscles and big guns and lots of pouches. And, we have another one, the Space Freedom Fighter. Kind of got a really Guardians of the Galaxy kind of look to him.
Okay.
So they're not some that we really warranted, hey, let's make a story for them. This one just, I don't know, just because it was a Revolutionary War type, it touched my strings a little bit to where it's like, hey, I'm going to write a story for it.
Cool, cool. So now, of course, this is your five, and if by the time people hear this, it's going to, or the day after people hear this, it's going to be available on the Insane Comics website. So you go to the store on there, I'm sure.
Yes.
To get a hold of that. Now, the question is, of course, how are the rest of the issues going to come out? Are you going to be monthly, bi-monthly? How are you going to finish this story up?
Let's see. Freedom Fighter 6, I think, comes out in March.
Okay.
And May would be Freedom Fighter 7. I think it'll be every other month.
Okay. Okay, so that's good.
Yep.
So in other words, if it's on a regular basis, we can deal with that. So and it's
yeah.
a lot of fun. It's a great book. I do, of course, you know, you cliffhanger down the end of that revolutionary guy. Now I need to know what's going on there. So at some point, you're going to have to come back and bring this guy back because I really like the story.
Well, yeah, his story will conclude in issue 7.
Oh, well, okay.
Sorry, I didn't make that clear enough.
Oh, because I was asked, that's what I was wondering. I was wondering if he's going to continue on in this miniseries. So that's good.
Yeah.
Well, it's good to know because I really liked it. I thought that he was a great character. I didn't realize he was like a freedom fighter. I just thought it was a Revolutionary War story. But yeah, great. I'm glad to hear that because I like the story quite a lot. I liked both stories. It's something that, you know, the heroic stories to me always are appealing because I am drawn to people who try to make things better. You know, so both of these characters I really like because of that. So I like that. So it's Freedom Fighter, and number 5 will be out on, let's see, that'll be Monday the 22nd. So we'll look forward to that. Now, 180 degrees the other direction, you sent me a what looks to be like a graphic novel called Acts of Contrition.
Yes, sir.
And I have to say, it is so totally different from the Freedom Fighter that I was really surprised. I didn't think you had written it because it was so very different.
It's deep and dark and gritty.
Yeah.
For sure.
And the subtitle is Sometimes Angels Deserve to Die.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of a noir type of black and white story, you know. It follows actually a bad guy as the main character. You're mm-hmm. supposed to feel sorry for this guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's a mob enforcer. You know, he's a killer, and he's actually on death's doorstep. You know, he's about to die from lung cancer,
mm-hmm.
and he's visited by an angel, you know, in the hospital, saying, mm-hmm. "Hey, you got a chance to make things right with the world," and mm-hmm. He takes that chance in a way, and as you know, he goes along, he finds out these angels aren't exactly what he thinks that they are.
Right.
Yeah, they're a little more brutal and ruthless than what, you know, you would think an angel would be like.
Yeah, of course, not all angels are good angels. You know,
right.
The obviously. Thing about this. And so, I mean, because, see, I've read other stories where, and of course, Supernatural is famous for this, too, about having angels on there who are not necessarily the good kind. And so mm-hmm. I'm fascinated because you're taking something along the tech, but you flesh out parts of it more strongly than they do. And I was really fascinated by, you know, the way that it goes. And the one thing we should mention right off the bat is this book is black and white. It's not full color like Freedom Fighter is.
Yeah, I wanted to do it in black and white just because I think it added to the tone of the story. I wanted to keep it deep and dark.
Yeah.
And, you know, in a way, kind of scary.
Yeah.
You know, the colors, like we did do a colored cover, obviously. And, you know, it just, if we kept going color throughout, I think it would have been a little more of a bright story.
But you do use some color occasionally.
Yeah. We started using color just to distinguish, you know, like in the lettering, you know, who's speaking what, you know. Mm. And then we thought, hey, you know, let's do kind of like the Sin City does, you know, where you can see blood as red. So we did that, and we just added splashes of color other places because we thought, hey, it looked good.
Mm-hmm. What helps the story? You know, you want to keep people's attention going. And I have to say, when reading this book, I was just, you know, I forgot where I was, and I just, it's like 168 pages, but I never once wanted to stop. I was going like, now what, now what, now what? So I kept going and going and going. So I wanted to say that as different as this book is from Freedom Fighter, it's still as compelling and as gripping, you know, as I find Freedom Fighter. So I was really liking it. And I, of course, the character's a lot more gray and the things that happen are a lot darker. And I for a while I wondered if you were the one that actually wrote this one, because it was so different. But a good writer can write different kinds of stories, and I think you proved that you're a good writer by doing this as well.
I do try to jump around from genre to genre, saying, hey, I think I can write something like this. And I mean, I don't know if you've read anything else that I wrote, but I wrote a children's book also.
Oh, wow.
Called The Dinosaur Farm, and it's completely different also, you know. But yeah, Acts of Contrition actually is a book that I've been working on for a long time, and it was actually going to be just a novel, a prose novel, and I'd always write that book and get 100,000 some words into it and just feel like I'm not doing the characters justice in a way. I need to be able to see it. And AJ, who works with me on Freedom Fighter also, you know, I asked him if he'd, you know, just throw together some stuff if I sent him a little script, and he did. And, you know, the first 10 pages is what he did. And I just, wow, that's perfect. Mm-hmm. That's, you know, I can't turn away from that.
Mm-hmm.
But the story is something that I've just been carrying around for years.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad that I finally got it, put it out on paper and printed and ready to go.
Yeah, because it's a screams movie to me. You know, this should be a movie, you know, true crime type movies and stuff like that.
I need you to say that again.
It should be a movie, really and for true. It's one of those great things that, you know, you dabble a little bit in religion, which gets, you know, and the business of angels is always a little off-putting to some folks. But to me, I just, you know, the whole business about the guy who was dying trying to resolve a situation, and the fact that we see multiple kinds of angels and different people that this guy interacts with. I was trying to think if there was a good guy in the bunch.
There is, mm-hmm. and it's probably not awful clear who it is.
Mm-hmm.
But under it all, you know, the main character, the bad guy, he is somewhat of a good guy in some way.
Right.
Of course, you know, that goes along the lines of judging people by their actions and stuff. And mm-hmm. sometimes their actions aren't exactly what they want,
right.
but they do it anyway.
Right.
You know,
right. Yeah, I like that. And I like the fact that the main character has a girl that he likes, and that's kind of his weakness. His kryptonite is what she is. And she kind of makes it hard for him to make some decisions because of her involvement with it.
Right.
So I like that. It made him very human, you know, and all these characters to me, just like, I have to say, it's the same thing that's true with Freedom Fighter, is the fact that I care about these characters. I feel like they're real people, you know, they're not just something on a page or somebody in a script. They are very interesting and very realistic. Now, I have to say, when you get to the part where things get revealed of what's actually going on, I was very surprised.
Oh, well, I'm glad we were able to do that.
I was stunned. I said, oh, that's what's going on, okay? Because you know, I started to wonder a little bit about what was really happening, and then when you got to the solution, that surprised me. So
I'm always happy to hear that I can surprise the reader, you know, because that's one thing that I love to do, you know, make them drop their jaws and say, whoa.
Because it was that way. It was just terrific. And then, of course, it ends up interestingly. And I would never talk about the ending because I want that to be a surprise when people get to read it. But it's a well-done book. And I have to ask, is this like a self-contained story? Do you think there might be another, like an Acts of Contrition 2? Or what have you got in mind for this?
I wrote it as a self-contained story.
Mm-hmm.
But there are, you know, I wrote this as a novel before, like I said, that I never published, and to put it in graphic novel form, I had to cut so much of it had to be cut.
Okay.
Just because, you know, it's a big book as it is. It's 160 some pages, like you said.
Right.
But
it didn't feel like that, though. I have to say that the plot and everything propelled along, and there were all these great twists and turns along the way that really kept me reading from page to page. So
yeah.
When I got to the end, I was surprised. I said, oh my gosh, that's the end.
Yeah, I would like to continue the story, though. I'd like to come back to some of those parts that I had to cut out and add those back in so you can learn more about who these angels really are. And I did quote marks with my fingers, though he can't see me around angels. But Yeah, I would like to continue the story, but we'll just have to see how it goes. But the way that it is now, it is one contained story, and you can read it and have a beginning, middle, and end. You know, that's what we really needed to have.
Which is surprising in comics. You don't see that very often, so that's a nice thing to have happen. Now, question is, how do you get a hold of Acts of Contrition?
Through Insane Comics. It will be available on the 22nd.
Okay.
Same day as Freedom Fighter. It's going to be a big month for us.
Wow.
And it will also be available on Comixology very soon. And you did ask about comic book stores, if we get our books into any of the stores. I've actually been in contact with two comic book stores in Louisville, Kentucky, just nearby to where I live. Mm-hmm. And I have meetings with them to go and sit down and see if they'll take the books and you know, it always comes down to, hey, we just want to look it over and see what we can do. Right. We're going to hopefully have it in some stores soon, too.
Cool. Very cool. Because I saw you at C2E2, I think, is where I actually physically met you.
Yeah.
At the Insane Comics booth. And I was happy to meet you because it's nice to meet the creators and put a face to the...
Yeah, it was good to meet you there, too.
Yeah, it was fun to do. Which leads to a question, of course. Are you going to continue to do conventions with Insane Comics? How's it going to go? Because you can get, there are physical copies when you guys go to conventions. If somebody really wants a physical copy, they ought to watch and see if you're going to a convention and maybe get it there.
Yeah, I'll be at Cedar Rapids Comic-Con. Actually, I think it's February 3rd with Insane Comics.
Oh.
And let's see. I do have plans to go to C2E2 again this year.
Oh, good.
And I'll be in, let's see. Next one up, I think, is Frankfurt Comic Con in Kentucky.
Wow.
I think that's in March. And also in March, gosh, it might be April, is Indiana Comic Con in Indianapolis. Okay. I'll be there also.
Very good. Very good. Have you thought about going to, like, New York or to places like that? Does Insane Comics go to those places? Or I don't know, because honestly, New York is one of those, what I like to see is a happening con. Things really go on in New York.
Yeah. And I would love to go to New York. Yeah. It's just trying to make it, you know, financially possible, you know, to where it's not like, hey, I'm dropping a lot of money not to make any of it back going out there, you know. Because sometimes writing comics and getting them out there, it is more of a hobby than it is a source of income, obviously.
Yeah, real life gets in the way of comics a lot of times.
Exactly. So
I don't blame you for that. I just, if you can at some point, I would highly recommend it because... You know, I always like to tell people, it's not only the selling that makes a convention worth going to, it's the connections that you develop.
Yes. We, me and AJ, the artist, we had talked about, see, he lives in San Diego, actually.
Oh.
I don't know, you didn't get the chance to meet him at C2E2, I don't think, did you?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, he was there that day.
Oh.
And, yeah, he had flown in for that show, and that was a great show.
Mm-hmm.
But, we had been talking about trying to get a booth at San Diego Comic-Con.
Oh.
And my gosh, it's so expensive out there. But, you know, I hear that's just a great show to go and be at.
I've been there twice. I've been there twice so far. Yeah, and it's the first one wore me out. It took like 2 weeks because I literally was covering it for a website, and I ran from San Diego gets taken over basically by the convention, and you go along and pizza places will now suddenly be a Cartoon Network pizza place, and so I had to run from side to side of San Diego trying to cover all this stuff and do interviewing that I was doing, and I was so tired. It took me 2 weeks to recover from that. This last one wasn't so much that way because I wasn't doing that. I was doing interviews with DC Comics and with some other folks around.
So you didn't have to do as much running.
Right. I didn't
but
have
the
to.
The show was still great, right?
Oh, it was terrific. It's just a great career. Yeah. See, the debate's always which one's better, San Diego or New York? Which one that has more people going to it? I prefer New York because I think a lot more that I'm aware of happens there. So
really?
I don't know what that means. But, you know, San Diego, on the other hand, is a good place. And I always recommend if you want to go to San Diego, there's a couple things you can do to cut the cost down. You can Airbnb, which gives you a place to stay for less money. And you can also Uber around rather than take taxis.
Yeah.
Those things.
Well, obviously, New York is closer to me, so it'd probably be the one that we go to. But.
Well, I'd recommend it. I'd recommend it. It's if you can bunk in with somebody or maybe go with this. Insane doesn't go to New York. Is that what happens?
I don't know if they have. They have gone to the Pennsylvania Comic Con. I think it was The name's slipping my mind. I think Great Philadelphia, is that what it is?
Yeah, Greater Philadelphia has a
comic. Yeah, there you go. I think that's what it was. Okay.
That's a good one. That's not that far from New York, to be honest. And a lot of the same people.
Yeah, it's really not.
So, but yeah, honestly, these two books really, again, I really enjoyed them. I was happy to get to read them. And I highly recommend, if anybody wants a good story, especially something a little different in the superhero genre, I would go Freedom Fighter. If you want something that's a very different kind of angel story, Acts of Contrition, I mean, it just... When I got to the end, I was very surprised by what was going on into it. And I thought that, once again, you threw a lot of curveballs at me that I didn't always hit. So I was really happy when I got to the end, and we get to there's a place where there's a kind of a wrapping up of what was going on. And I really loved the way that goes on. It describes a lot of it kind of looks back on what was happening and why it happened a little more.
It ties it all together.
Yeah, nicely done. I like that, because not many comics do that these days. A lot of it's all open-ended, and we'll never know what happened, but, you know.
Yeah, I hate that. I hate that. I hate loopholes. But, you know, there are so many loopholes to always try to close. It's almost impossible to close every loophole.
Well, you don't want every loophole closed. You want some, you know. There's a book called Rust that I got a chance to read. I was the first person outside of the circle of the creator to read it, and he was very worried about what I was going to think of it. And, you know, one of the things, his book actually did tie up almost every thread that I couldn't think of one he didn't resolve in some way.
I got a copy of Rust a couple of weeks ago, just the first volume of it. I haven't finished it. I need to go back and get the other two volumes, but so far I love it.
Now, number four, the conclusion is coming out in February.
Oh, there's going to be four. Okay.
Yeah, so dare I say, you know, not to take time away from Freedom Fighter and stuff, but Rust is one of those books that I just adore. You know,
I love that. My kids, they loved it too. It just... I don't know what it is about it, if it's the art or if it's just the story or the way that it reads. It's a fun book.
It's a great book, and I always highly recommend it. But I also highly recommend Freedom Fighter and Acts of Contrition. So if you are interested in stuff, and if somebody has not looked at the InsaneComics.com website, I would say do that, because I think you'll see not only these good books, but there's other good books out there. And
I think Insane Comics has the best set of titles. They got something for everybody. They really do.
Yeah. So they don't sell your children's book, do they?
No, they don't. No.
Oh, okay. Sometime I got to get a hold of that and read that.
Okay.
I'm interested.
Maybe I can send you a copy.
Yeah, that'd be fine. If you got a PDF, you can email me so I could read it. I hate to take people's money like that. I would much rather that you make the money and I can enjoy that and I can recommend it. Do you have other projects planned, or is this going to keep you busy for a while?
This is probably going to keep me busy for a little bit. Actually, before we got together today, I've been writing Freedom Fighter 10, or as we're calling it, Freedom Fighter X, which kind of will make more sense later. But But I think we'll have that one wrapped up. It'll probably close out this year, I believe.
Super. Again, it's Freedom Fighter number 5 and Acts of Contrition, trade paperback. Those will both be out on Monday the 22nd at insanecomics.com. Michael, they're great reading. I highly recommend them to people, and please be sure to get them. And I'm looking forward to more that you're going to do in the future.
Well, thank you. And thanks for having me, Wayne.
People need dramatic examples to shake them out of apathy, and I can't do that as Bruce Wayne. As a man, from flesh and blood, I can be ignored, I can be destroyed, but as a symbol.
Get the latest from the comics universe. News, interviews, previews, and reviews. Listen to the weekly Wayne's Comics Podcast, so you can keep reading your comics.
That's a wrap for this episode. Be sure to be back next week when we'll have more interviews and other good things. But until then, keep reading your comics.